My guest on our program today is Phil Larson, Philip Larson. And first of all, thanks for taking time to stop by and visit with us here at KWBG.
Well, thank you. It's nice to be here.
Let's tell everybody a little bit about yourself. Name is familiar in Boone, I'm guessing, in Boone and Boone County.
I grew up in Boone, born here, spent most of my life here. I worked for the Iowa DOT for a number of years as a real estate appraiser, but I also wrote, and I had a column in the Boone News for 23 years, and I wrote for the Tri-County Times in Slater, and then I had a column appear in the Lorenz Sun in Lorenz, Iowa, and then over the years, I submitted articles to magazines, and I had articles appear in right at 50 different magazines. Toward the very end, two or three of them were internet magazines, but I wrote for all kinds of different publications.
So an interest in writing. So did this come at an early age, or is this just something as you were going through life you started to pick up and wanted to tell the story?
That's basically it. I in 1969, I bought a small motorcycle, and 175 Kawasaki, and I took it to Alaska, and I spent 7 weeks riding around Alaska. And it was a different environment then. The roads were gravel, and you would get into dust, and it would dry out your throat. And I actually had bloody noses from the dry air breathing the dust.
Yeah.
And I'd stop and at a restaurant, and several times I had people say, "Are you writing a book?" And I said, no, I'm no writer. But when I got back, I wrote a column, an article about my motorcycle trip, and I sent it to the Alaska Magazine, and they bought it. And that was my first story, and then I started writing outdoor-type features and sending them to different magazines. And some years I would get more than 100 rejection slips, but I kept at it. Sure. And eventually, I sold a lot of them. I got better, and I sold a lot of magazines, and I got the columns. And I liked writing. And when the pandemic struck, it kind of shut things down. And I had had friends say, "Well, you've been a lot of places. You ought to write a book." And so I just started on one. And I got partway through. And a couple people read it and said, "Well, this isn't what you need in there. This is, you need more travel." So I started over. And it took a lengthy time. Some of them were magazine articles. Some of them were newspaper columns. I expanded on them. I rewrote many of them. And then I wrote a number of new features, too. And
so basically, again, it's a... It started out kind of as a travel log that you're doing, but now this book. And is this your first book, actually?
Yes, it is my first book.
It's called A Few Memorable Days.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So again, something that you've accumulated from all the different.
One thing I did on many of my trips was keep journals, and I went back over those. A lot of them weren't published. Now in 2000. Five friends and I flew to Victoria Island, which is north of the North American mainland, and then we had a Twin Otter fly us out into the center of the island, and we canoed downstream to the Arctic Ocean, and I had kept a journal on that trip, and I had never published anything to speak of from it. I had one little internet article, but it wasn't nearly as lengthy. I didn't go into all of the ice-choked lakes we encountered and keeping a polar bear watch at night because we were in polar bear
because you were in that area, yeah.
So, but I had a lot of details from that journal, and people would say, "How can you remember that?" Well, I didn't remember it. I had it written down, and once I started rereading it, it jarred my memory, and other things came to mind.
Then you say, "Oh, I didn't say we did this. We had to stay awake for the polar bears and stuff
absolutely.
Like that." You have been part of different writer groups.
Yes.
So again, your reputation's out there. You've been writing a lot of travel related things for some time, for different groups. What Great Lakes Outdoor Writers, I guess, is one of the groups you're part of.
That's right. I was president of that in 1990. That at that time we had writers from 27 different states, and I served as president and then chairman of the board. And then I've been a member of the Outdoor Writers Association of America since 1980. It's changed significantly. But yes, I made a lot of my close friends through those organizations because we had so much in common.
We
liked the outdoors, and we both all wrote. So
yeah. So let's talk a little bit about, all of the travels, first of all. Did you get everything accumulated into one book, and is it this long?
No.
Folks, I'm holding my hands up this far.
It's only 212 pages.
Okay.
I've got an article in there about when I traveled alone across the Soviet Union on the Trans-Siberian Railway, and then my father was a railroad engineer here in Boone, and my parents went with me to Australia in 1988. And we got on the Indian Pacific, which goes from the Pacific Ocean in Sydney clear across the continent to Perth on the Indian Ocean. It's a 66-hour trip. So I took train trips. I hiked 185 miles through the Himalayan foothills into the Mount Everest base camp. We trekked across the Andes. In fact, the cover of my book has a picture of me standing on the top of Huayna Picchu, which is the towering peak that it rises above Machu Picchu.
Yeah.
And then we hiked across the through the Dolomites of Italy. I drove highways. I was always fascinated with roads, and I took the Dalton Highway, which is the old, was built as a haul road. It goes to Prudhoe Bay.
Yeah.
And there's one other highway in North America that goes north of the Arctic Circle, and that's the Dempster Highway. And it goes from near Dawson City in the Yukon Territory, 456 miles north to Inuvik.
Sure.
And so I drove those. And then there's the Skeleton Coast Highway in Namibia, and I've driven that twice. That was named Skeleton Coast because the coast is so barren and the shoreline is rocky, and any ship that would crash there, the occupants were doomed.
And so nothing there.
No, it was just the Namib Desert is probably the oldest desert in the world, maybe 70 million years old. And it's as dry a place as you can find. And as you're driving it, you'll see these sand dunes that have blown out over part of the road. But one time I was in, to continue with roads, time I was in Punta Arenas in southern Chile. And South America is shaped like a point.
Yeah.
And so all of the roads in the Western Hemisphere eventually merge, and eventually, you've only got one trail going south if you stay on the continent. Now, you can cross the Straits of Magellan to Terra del Fuego and drive further south. But if you stay on the North American continent, the road ends there. And so I had to drive as far as I could on that. And I drove down in a small rental car until I came to a puddle in the mud road, and I pulled out into that as far as I could, got out, took a picture of the car there. So I've driven as far south as you can in North America and as far south as you can in South America.
Well, what we're talking about is the story called A Few Memorable Days. Again, it's a book that Philip Larson has written. And we do know that there are going to be a couple of events that will be coming up where you're going to be speaking about this. Again, this is an opportunity for people to maybe find out a little bit more about it. And again, people like to ask questions about, well, how do you remember that? Like you said, I keep journals, and how important that is for people to keep those memories.
Right.
So we do have some events coming up. We know you're going to be one of the speakers for the Saturday Scholars for the Historical Society.
That's correct, yes, on the 9th of September.
Okay, and then I know you're going to pay a visit to the library, Erickson Public Library. They always like people who write and tell stories, too. So that's a big thing. This is it sounds like what you've written are the stories you know, as they come to you, stories of traveling.
That's right. In later years, I wasn't as good as I had been earlier in keeping logs. And I didn't, I did go to Antarctica and South Georgia.
I was wondering if you had been there.
Yeah, at South Georgia, I went to Ernest Shackleton's grave site. But my memoirs that I recorded were not nearly as extensive as the earlier ones, so there's nothing on that.
Okay.
And last summer, I flew into Reykjavik and got on a boat and crossed the Straits of Denmark to Greenland, and went up much of the west coast of Greenland into the areas where massive glaciers calved or icebergs calved off the glaciers.
Probably not more recent trips, but you could tell stories about those.
I can tell stories.
You can tell stories about.
Yes.
For the book itself, though, again, there are. We know that people will be able to get Amazon, Barnes and Noble, things like that.
Yes.
And maybe have some coupons available. Depends on how everything comes together for you. But I do know. Again, this is one of those things where. Just an opportunity. You had an opportunity to write, put it down. You've been writing, and here it is. This is what we've done, and an opportunity people can travel along with you. I can imagine that in Victoria. Yeah, we'll go canoeing down this river in the ice and stay awake at night and watch for polar bears. So,
yeah, we came to lakes that were still frozen solid. And one of our men would go out and look on the ice and see if we could drag a loaded canoe on it, and the ice would be just crystal, and it would have cut the canoe up, so we'd have to portage around. And we had some interesting experience on Victoria Island.
See, things that you learn. I never knew all of that, too. Anyway, again, besides, obviously, the travel stories and stuff like that, but you get a chance to talk about culture of the areas where you've been. Like you mentioned, the desert.
Yes.
Just how old it is, how dry it is. People would, you know, okay, yeah, dry heat, but there's dry and there's dry.
I've got a photo in my book taken just off the Skeleton Coast Highway. And there are a few animals there, very few. But in the photograph, there's a tiny tree. And it's shedding a shadow, and right in that shadow, beneath the tree, is a gimsbuck, because that's the only shade he had. Shelter he could find, and he took advantage of it.
And preserved the tree.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It's called A Few Memorable Days, is the book by Philip Larson. Once again, just got done with it. How long ago?
It was released the 24th of July, and the first few weeks it was only available on ebook.
Okay.
But it can be ordered from Amazon now.
Okay.
There's a hardbound copy, there's a softbound copy, and then there's the ebook.
Okay.
So there's three different ways it can be purchased, and then Barnes & Noble has it also.
Okay.
And
so, but having been a writer, doing a lot of like travelogues with the outdoors and things like that, have you slowed down on doing that now since the pandemic, or are you starting? Is it just one of those things you do when you have time? Because you know,
I'm
guessing one of your older compatriots, maybe Mr. Kelly, who wrote at the Boone News, does a lot of blogging.
I know he does. Yeah.
So.
My travel hasn't been as extensive since. Well, I took that trip to Greenland last year, and I am going to Albania and Montenegro in early November of this year, but I don't have anything else booked right now.
What about going back to the places where you'd been, where you went through up around the Great Lakes and stuff? How has it changed? You know, those things that's happening to us.
Yeah, it's...
I mean, a lot of the
more
stories.
Traffic on those roads.
Yeah, I was going to say, a lot of the stories and places you're talking about, we have see more and more activity going into some of those places now, too.
You're right. In 2016, I believe, I flew to Reykjavik, and I got on a ship that went north to Jan Mayen Island, which is an island between Europe and Greenland, and then we went further north to Svalbard. And Svalbard has more polar bears than it has people. It's only got maybe 2,000 people in Longyearbyen, which is the capital of Svalbard. Svalbard is Norwegian, and it's about 600 miles north of the European continent. But when we were there, we disembarked there. That's where they have the Doomsday Vault, the food cave where all of the seeds are stored if they're needed to replenish seeds. But when we were there, we went on a day outing to a Russian coal mining village. And when we came back, now this is a town of 2,000 people, there were two cruise ships leaving. And together they had released about 2,500 people into a town of 2,000. And when you, I don't know how they could absorb that many people. Longyearbyen is a town where people walk down the street with guns because there's so many polar bears.
Yeah.
And then you go in certain businesses and they have gun racks because you don't need it when you're inside. The polar bear's not going to get you. But it was a fascinating place.
So but those when, are, yeah.
When you saw all those big cruise ships, you wondered if even you should be have gone there.
Yeah, you kind of wonder. Well, we do have these events that are coming up. Again, the public will be welcome to those. I know there's no charge for those. And again, you'd love to have them come out and be able to answer questions, tell them the story, start to tell them the story. Don't give them the whole book.
Absolutely.
Got to keep the ending there a secret. But again, an opportunity to just talk about your travels and where you places you've been, things you've seen. And again, over time, we know those things are starting to change.
They change. And when I was in Kathmandu, a young Tibetan, I hired to guide me on the 185-mile trek into Everest. And I've got a photo. I mentioned this in the book. I've got a photo of him and his porter's clothing. And then I've got a photo 40 years later, and he's standing at a podium in Canada in a coat and tie as a successful realtor talking to a group of people. And the environment in the 90s became unsafe for the Tibetans, and he migrated to Canada.
And that's what he had to do.
Significant change.
Philip Larson, our guest on our program today. Once again, he's written A Few Memorable Days, and we have a couple of public presentations that will be coming up. I want to thank you for taking time to visit with us and give us a little update on what's been happening here. Continue to have safe travels.
Well, thank you. It's always fun to talk about my travels.